Certainly appreciate the manner in which we've engaged in our worship this Lord's Day morning. Appreciate everyone's presence. The well-worded prayer, the good comments at the table. Now we have an opportunity to study God's Word together. And as has been announced, and as we have been preparing our minds in the singing of some of these songs, I want to talk about fear. And in particular, I want to talk about the repeated admonition that's found in the Word of God, do not be afraid. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Doctors tell us that when we are born, we have two fears. We have a fear of falling and a fear of loud noises. But it doesn't take us very long before many of us add to that list. Doctors now and professionals now recognize that there are hundreds of phobias that exist. Some of them are very common. We perhaps share in them. Some of them seem kind of far-fetched for some of us. But what we need to understand and appreciate is that if you're suffering from a phobia, it's real to you. It doesn't matter what someone else may think about it or if someone's not afraid of that. If we're afraid of it, it's real to us. Now, some of these common phobias would be claustrophobia. I don't like that. You know, the fear of confined spaces. You know I don't like heights. Altophobia, aviophobia, fear of flying. Hydrophobia, fear of waters. Arachnophobia, fear of spiders. Anybody? Yes, a lot of people have that. Ophidiophobia is the fear of snakes. I can handle spiders, but snakes, me and Indiana Jones, that's probably only two things we have in common, or only one thing we have in common, fear of snakes. Glossophobia, fear of public speaking. Many people suffer from that. There are some fears that are not as common. Chlorophobia, the fear of clowns. Some people, this is very real. Dendrophobia, fear of trees. Frorimiophobia, the fear of thinking. You and I encounter people who suffer from this every day, I think. Ecclesiophobia, fear of church. Homilophobia, fear of sermons. Panophobia, if we didn't get you, we got you here. Fear of everything. All of these fears, and this list could be multiplied. There are a number of fears that are common to man, strike a little bit closer to home for a lot of us. The fear of failure. The fear of losing our job and not being able to provide for our families. That's kept some of us awake at night, I'm sure. The fear of losing our health. The fear of being separated from a loved one for a prolonged period of time. And the fear that that can bring with it. The fear of losing a loved one. We all suffer from these things from time to time. Becoming a Christian adds even more fears to that, or at least it can. The fear of letting down our brethren. Don't we have to face that from time to time? Afraid that we'll let our brethren down? How about the ridicule, the rejection, and the persecution that we can get from the world if we do take that stand for Christ? If we do stand up for what is right, if we identify ourselves as Christians, if we dare to invite someone to come to church with us, how might they respond? And of course, there is the fear of the wrath of God. As we studied this morning, Judas was an apostle, but he went to his own place. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "I buffet my body, lest after I preach to others, I should be disqualified." And so there are fears out there. These fears do exist. But one thing that I think is interesting in preparing for this sermon, doing the study, is just how often the Bible admonishes God's people not to be afraid. Of all the people in the world, those that would seem to be less likely to have fears, they're admonished over and over again. God told Abraham, "Do not be afraid." He had left his home. He had come to a land. He was living there as a stranger. Don't be afraid. Whenever Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and they came up to the Red Sea and they turned around and saw Pharaoh's army marching in on them, racing toward them, they all cried out. And Moses said, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And that following day, they were on the other side of the Red Sea and the bodies of those Egyptian soldiers washing up on sea. God had to tell His prophets not to be afraid. Literally, specifically to Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Do not be afraid. As you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's amazing how many times Jesus had to tell His apostles not to be afraid. When He would work a miracle like them bringing in that great catch of fish, do not be afraid. When He came walking to them on the water and they cried out for fear and He had to cry back at them, do not be afraid. Up on the Mount of Transfiguration, after Moses and Elijah had gone away and it was just the Lord, He came to Peter, James, and John and said, do not be afraid. And on the island of Patmos, whenever the Lord appeared to John, He had to tell him once again, do not be afraid. You know what that tells me? That tells me there was something about being in the presence of the Lord that could make you afraid. That could make you afraid. Being in the presence of deity has that impact, has that power upon others. The Apostle Paul, as we already saw, has said that Christians have not been given a spirit of fear. But yet sometimes we're all afraid, aren't we? There are times that each and every one of us succumb to fear and we are afraid. How can we do what the Lord has said here and not be afraid? Is there something that you and I can do to help us to overcome our fears? I believe that there are some things we can do. We're going to take a look at these. And young, old, alike, it doesn't matter. We all need to learn from these things. We need to see what it is that God has given us to help us to overcome our fears, because He's not given us a spirit of fear and He's told us not to be afraid. Well, it has to do primarily with our faith. And so one thing that we can do to overcome fear is we need to learn to trust in God's care. All throughout His Word, God has promised to protect and to care for His children. And we need to learn to develop our faith to the point that we have confidence in God's willingness and His ability to protect us and to care for us. So that I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that not only can God take care of me, He wants to take care of me. And He will take care of me. In Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4, David writes this psalm. He says, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in You. In God, I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" That is, what can man do to me? David, the great champion of God, who knocked down Goliath with one stone. Was David ever afraid? "Whenever I am afraid." Yes, even David was afraid. But what would he do? He said, "I will trust in You. I will trust in God." That's the same God that you and I serve. And when we're afraid, we can trust in Him because He will protect us so that we will not fear. We have no reason to fear. When Solomon wrote to his sons in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 24 through 26, here's some advice from a father to his children. "When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." You want to hear afraid of the dark? I guess I'm the only one. I really was when I was younger. And I'm not too fond of it today. And sometimes going to sleep in a dark house is not the most fun thing to do. what Solomon told his sons. Whenever you lie down, do not be afraid. God is there. You know what? God's staying up all night. He's got you covered, right? When I first moved out of my house, moved out on my own, living several hundred miles from my parents, I was by myself. At least I felt that way. And I did a lot of heavy-duty praying at night. That God would watch over me and keep me safe through that night so I could sleep. You know what? He did. He did every night. We can pillow our head at night. We can lie down. We can go to sleep knowing that God is going to keep us safe. And these truths are repeated in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 12, verses 5 through 6, are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Oh, God doesn't care about me. God doesn't notice me. I'm just a little bitty person lost in a sea of humanity. If a bird can fall from heaven and God knows it, don't you have faith to know that God knows where you're at and what you're going through? These birds that are so cheap, you could buy five of them for a couple of pieces of copper coin. That'd be a coin that'd be less than 1 cent. These birds that are of such little value, if God cares about them, don't you know He cares about you and me? God knows us better than we know ourselves, doesn't He? The very hairs of our head are all numbered. Have you got that number down? Some of us, it's a little bit easier to count than others. But God knows. If God knows us that well, then He cares about us. And He's going to protect us. And that's the point here. We are more important to God than we may realize. He's not going to let anything happen to us. In Romans chapter 8 and at verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Indeed, God is for us. This is the same thing that was said by David through that first psalm that we looked at. What can flesh do to me? What can man do to me? God is for me. And so I will rest in that. We can overcome our fears by learning to trust in God's care. And sometimes, to help us to learn that lesson, we have to remember what God has done in the past. A lot of times we're in the present. And oftentimes when we're afraid or we're going through trouble or distress, that's a lot bigger and it's a lot louder than anything that we remember about God. And so we need to think, we need to stop, and we need to remember who God is and what He has done, with the understanding that He will continue to do it today. There's a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 7 I want you to notice. In Deuteronomy, Moses is addressing the second generation of those who came out of Egypt. Remember, the first generation, they didn't get to go in the promised land because they were afraid. And they didn't have faith in God. And so God made them wander for 40 years. That generation died out, and here's another generation ready to go in. And Moses is talking to this generation. And he says, if you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? If you start saying the same thing those 10 spies said, we're grasshoppers in their sight, there's no way we can take them. If you're afraid, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. Remember what God did before and trust that He'll do it again. So sometimes that's what helps us to get over our fears, is remembering what God did before. Now you and I have an advantage in this, because not only can we remember what God did to Israel, we've got all of God's revelation and we can go back and we can remember everything that God has done. We can remember what He did in delivering Israel from Egypt. We can remember what He did in giving the promised land to Joshua and his generation. We can remember what He did to help David, the many times he cried out for help. Daniel and his friends while they were in Babylonian captivity. Over and over again, God in His Word establishes a track record of faithfulness. I care about my people, and I'm going to take care of my people. And the next time you and I are afraid and we wonder and we worry about what's going to happen, we would do well to remember what God has done. Now, some of us are at an advantage also. We're at a point in our life where we can look back at the things that have happened in our life and we can see God's hand in it, can't we? We can see that God kept us out of trouble or God delivered us out of problems. We need to remember that as we're facing present trials. That God has preserved me through life, and He'll do it again. And those of you who are younger, who haven't faced those kind of things in your life, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at how your mom and dad handle things. I want you to look at how your grandparents handle things. I want you to see their faith, that they believe in your God. And they trust in your God, and that there's no reason to worry. There is indeed no reason to worry. No reason to be afraid. Let's remember what God has done in the past. He is the same God today as He's always been. He's going to take care of us. And there's something else that challenges me, and I hope it challenges you as well. To overcome our fears, I believe you and I would do well to learn how to live in God's presence. Now, what do I mean by that? What do I mean to live in God's presence? Maybe this can help you out. When I was a little boy and I was with my dad, I wasn't afraid of nothing. Because my dad was bigger than any problem I could ever imagine. And He had already proven His love for me. And so when I was with Him, it didn't matter. I was never afraid. You and I are always with our Heavenly Father. We're always with Him. Now often we don't see it, we don't think about it, we don't realize it, but we're always in the presence of our Heavenly Father. And this will be a troubling thought to those who aren't doing right. But to those who are doing what is right, it should be the most comforting thought of all, that He's there. Look at what God told Joshua. And we sang a song a few moments ago based on this passage, "Be strong and courageous." Look at the reason that Joshua was to be strong and courageous. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed." Why? "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I'm not sending you in there. I'm taking you in there to get that land. I am with you wherever you go. In Psalm 3, this is another psalm of David, that it's written from the vantage point of him running from an enemy. He was often in the wilderness. He was often running. In this particular psalm, he's running from his rebellious son Absalom. And notice what he says. "I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around." David knew, he was a man of war. He knew what it was to be outnumbered. He says, "But I'm not outnumbered if God is with me. He'll sustain me. And I can pillow my head and I can go to sleep, even out here in the wilderness with an enemy looking for me, because God will take care of me. God is there." Do we have that same faith? Do we learn to live in the presence of God? In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 18, the Apostle Paul had gone through a disappointing setback. He'd been run out of Macedonia, out of Thessalonica and Berea, and he came down to Athens in Acts chapter 17. And there, the gospel didn't enjoy a lot of success. In fact, he was laughed out of town. And he came to Corinth in Acts chapter 18. And he goes to the synagogue and he begins to preach and it starts all over again. People don't receive his message. He begins to go through this discouraging thing, this discouraging experience again. Look at what happens in Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." Do not be afraid. Do the work I've sent you there to do. I'm with you. No one's going to hurt you. No one's going to hurt you. And so the Apostle Paul was there for a year and a half and spread the gospel to many people. Jesus told him not to be afraid to try to convert the lost in Corinth. How about you and I? Sometimes we're afraid to invite people to come to services. Sometimes we're reluctant to do that. We don't know how they're going to react. We don't know how they're going to respond. What if I'm not ready for whatever question they might ask or whatever accusation they might make? Don't be afraid. Do it. The Lord is with us. We've got a gospel meeting that's coming up starting the end of next month, about a month away, 5 weeks away. Let's be busy inviting people. Let's approach this meeting with some renewed confidence. We're not afraid. We're going to invite people to come. We're going to spread the gospel. Don't be afraid. A favorite passage of mine from the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. The king of Syria is troubled because the king of Israel is always ready for him every time he attacks. And so the advisors to the king of Syria says, well, there's a prophet in Israel that tells the king what you're doing. And so, okay, we're going to take care of that prophet. So he sends his army down there. Sends his army down there to Samaria to capture Elisha. And when the servant of the man of God, this is Elisha's servant, when he arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? We're outnumbered. We're doomed." Notice, so he answered, "Do not fear. Don't be afraid." When I picture this in my mind, I picture a man coming in frantic. You won't believe what's out there. What are we going to do? And all the while, he's talking to a man who's sitting down writing or doing something. He doesn't even stop and doesn't even look up. It doesn't faze him one bit. You've got polar opposites here. You've got someone who's terrified, and you've got someone who is confident, who is at peace, who is okay with what's happening. It says, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." What do you mean? I just looked out there and saw this army surrounding the city. We're doomed. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now this is something that the servant's eyes had to be opened to see. But Elisha saw it by faith, didn't he? He saw it by faith. He knew that those who were there for him and with him were greater than those who were there against him. And so he had nothing to be afraid of. And I wish that I could see things the way Elisha sees them. I don't wish that I could see angelic beings for a moment like the servant was allowed to do. I wish my faith was strong enough that I didn't have to be shown, that I knew that God had me protected, that He is there. What do we need to do? We need to learn to live in God's presence. God is not just an abject thought that we leave here every Sunday and Wednesday and we go out into the world on our own. No, this is our Father's world. And He's there with us. We need to learn to live with the confidence of being present with our Father. Nothing's going to hurt us. Something else that we can do that's a little more practical, So far, we've talked about things that have to do with our faith and trusting in God. And we need to develop that. We need to strengthen our faith. That's going to help us to overcome our fears. But there's something more practical that we can do to overcome our fears, and that is to prepare. To be prepared. In a familiar passage to us, Proverbs 31, that talks about the virtuous wife, notice this verse. It says, "She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet." She's not afraid of the change in weather. She's not afraid of the cold. Why? Because she has prepared her house. She's made sure that her children have warm clothes. Preparation. Being prepared gives us confidence in whatever it is that we're doing. Being prepared gives us confidence, and confidence takes care of fear and takes care of doubt. Am I nervous when I stand before you and preach the gospel? Every single time. But my nerves are taken care of to a large extent because I've spent some time preparing. If I got up here without preparing, it would be a mess. It'd sound like a mess. I'd look like a mess. Being prepared gives us confidence, and that helps with our fears. I can't remember ever being afraid of a test when I went to school. And the reason was, I paid attention when I went to school. I paid attention when lectures were going on. I took notes. I would go home. I would study. And the next day, I was ready for the test, ready for whatever grade I made. But I wasn't afraid of it because I was prepared for it. You're prepared for that project that you have to do for work. You're prepared for things that you have to take care of that takes care of your fear. Preparing for emergency situations. Maybe setting aside a fire extinguisher. Sure, that's in your house somewhere. Helps you sleep a little bit better knowing that the smoke alarms are there and they're working. Maybe having a little bit of savings set aside for when things go wrong and you need that money in cases of emergency. You sleep a little bit better. Buying insurance. You get the point that I'm making. If we put forth the effort to be prepared, that will help us to overcome our fears. Jesus told His apostles that the city of Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. That all the buildings of the temple were going to be torn down, and they couldn't fathom this happening. The last time it did, Babylon destroyed the city. So when are these things going to happen, they asked. That's how chapter 24 begins, Matthew 24. When are these things going to happen? And the only answer that the Lord could give them is in verses 42 and 44. Watch and be ready. Be ready. Be prepared. And that takes care of your fear. The best way, listen to me, the best way that we can calm our fears is to make our life right with God today. That's the best way that we can calm our fears, to obey His gospel and to serve Him faithfully. And if we do that, there is no reason for us to fear anything. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, John says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." There is judgment coming, and there is a reason to be terrified unless we have obeyed the gospel and our sins have been forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. And unless we have been faithful and we've added to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and we've grown to the point of love, and this love has been perfected, and if we've lived a life of faithfulness, that we have grown in God's love, then we can face the reality of our death and the reality of judgment without fear, because we know that we're right with God. I make a lot of mistakes throughout my day, every day. If I can pillow my head at night knowing that I am right with God, I'm okay. I can correct some of those other things perhaps the next day. I can take care of those other things if I need to. But if I'm all right with God, then I know I'm okay. If you're here, and we're not finished yet, but I want to make this point now. If you're here and you're not a faithful Christian, you are not prepared. You can take care of your fears by becoming a faithful Christian. There's one more thing that you and I can do to overcome our fears, and that is to pray. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." I don't know about you, but when I'm afraid, when I have fear, that's what I want. I want peace. Jesus says, "I give it to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God gives us, Jesus gives us peace. But this peace isn't like the peace we get from the world, where we keep our faith quiet and we get along to go along. No. The peace that Jesus offers is peace with God. The forgiveness of our sins, reconciliation with God. As I just said, knowing that everything is okay with God. That's the peace that Jesus gives. How do we obtain this peace? How do we get this peace? Well, it comes through prayer. I want to look at three passages, and we're going to turn to them and read them because they're lengthy. They don't all fit up here on the slide. But I want us to look at them and read them. Number one, we need to pray for peace. That's one way we can overcome our fears, by praying for peace. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Not might, not should, it will. But only if we pray. Only if we take those things that we're troubled over, that we're afraid of, and we take them to God in prayer. And like Hezekiah did, that letter from Sennacherib, lay them out in prayer so that God can see. Talk to Him about it. Pray to Him about it. And we will have that peace. We need to pray for boldness. In Acts chapter 4, the apostles Peter and John are arrested and they're threatened. "Do not preach anymore. Do not speak anymore in the name of Jesus Christ." And they know they can't comply with that. But the ruling body, the ruling authorities have threatened them, have told them not to do it. So they return to the other apostles and together they pray. Verse 29, "Now Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Sometimes we can be timid about talking to people about their soul salvation. We can be standoffish in talking to people about church and coming to worship with us and studying the Bible with us. Let's pray for boldness. Let's pray that God will give us that boldness so that we can speak and we can talk and we can act and God can work through us and souls can be saved. We need to pray for strength. In the 55th Psalm, we started in Psalm 56. In Psalm 55, verses 4 and 5, David writes, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me." Here's a man who is going through the worst of the worst. He is in the storm. He is in the pit. He sees no way out. What's he going to do? Verse 16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Verse 22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." You and I need to pray for strength. We need to pray that God would give us the strength that we need to endure the trial, to weather the storm, to meet the challenge that lies ahead of us. It doesn't matter how old we are, and it doesn't matter what we are going through. God would have us to pray for peace and for boldness and for strength. It is a terrible thing to be crippled by fear. Fear has that hold on us. And it's a terrible thing to be crippled by fear, to live a life in which we are hindered by our fears. I've reminded you this morning that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I want you to remember as we leave this morning that you're not just one person in a sea of humanity. You're a child of the King. You're a child of God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 27, you are more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. Let us not be afraid. Let us stand with our Father. Let us stand upon His promises and His track record of faithfulness. Let us overcome the fears that lie before us. And let us serve God faithful unto death. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, you need to become one. That's how you prepare yourself. First, by becoming a Christian, claiming that salvation that has been secured for you and offered through the gospel of Jesus Christ, by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized in water to have those sins washed away. If you've done that, but you've become unfaithful and you've wandered away from God, you have a reason to be afraid. Come back. Come back to God. You'll find Him right where you left Him. And He's there waiting for you. He wants to walk with you through life. If you'll have Him back, He'll have you. If you're overwhelmed with a fear, with a trial, with a storm in life, and you'd like for us to take a moment to pray with you, you're among friends. And we'd be honored to have the opportunity to help you this morning. Whatever your need is, please let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this song.